Every generation has an event or two that really changes and shapes that generation. I think Letta can probably remember December 7th, 1941, when we were thrust into World War II. How America mobilized and literally changed overnight. In my lifetime, I look at the effect that the assassination of President Kennedy had on America. In this generation, today is the anniversary of back in 2001, terrorist attacks here at home. It's one thing going off to war, going off to the Pacific, and going off to Europe to fight. But when things actually take place here, there's been a lot of TV shows, a lot of documentaries, a lot of remembrance-type shows of the attacks of 9/11. And that has changed a lot of our lives here in America. You know, the way we travel, the, you know, new agencies in the government, et cetera, et cetera. You see people changing their lives. I know people that are stockpiling guns and ammunition. I'm not necessarily saying that that's right or wrong, but I will say, which leads us to our sermon, those things are going to happen. Those wars are going to come. Earth-shattering things will happen. The best we can do is prepare for it, deal with it. But the one thing I would encourage us today as Christians is, with everything, realize the difference between the earthly and the spiritual. We are at war. We are at war with the devil for our souls. It is a war that we wage every day, and the consequences are a lot worse than a nation being taken over, than something worldly. I would like for us to focus on what we can do proactively to give ourselves the upper hand in this war that we are fighting as Christians. We're going to be basing most of our study from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The armor of God. Steve read a couple of the verses as our scripture reading. In verses 10 and 11, Paul is writing to the Christians there in Ephesus. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He doesn't say be strong in your own power. Now, if it was an earthly situation, if it was something that we are trying to protect ourselves from, absolutely. We protect ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. Security bars on the windows. Guns in the house. Whatever. To protect ourselves. This is a different kind of battle. Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. It is not a buffet. I like this, I'll take extra helpings of that. Ooh, I don't like that, I'm not going to take any of that. Paul says, take the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is sneaky. Physically, we can prepare ourselves. physically, we can see the adversary right in front of us. As bad as that would be, a physical fight, I can be ready for that one. And I'll come at you tooth and nail. We got to be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he doesn't fight fair. In verse 12, it explains. It's not a physical battle. It's not an earthly battle. It's not one for lands and nations. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's not an earthly fight. We are fighting against things that we don't necessarily stand up against. And we've got to put on the whole armor of God to do this. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is not something that we need to give a half-hearted effort in. After we've done all we can to stand, we will be victorious in this. Verse 14, it gets into the armor of God. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Doesn't say get an AR-15 and a box of ammunition. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's look at these. Gird your waist with truth. They would put around them belts and protective gear for their loins. It's from these belts that hang other things. Their sword and so forth. We're to wrap ourselves with truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing this idea of the gospel, knowing the Bible, we are to wrap ourselves in that. Jesus said a few chapters later in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. There's not other ways. We're not all just going to the same place in different ways. There is truth. And Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, we are at war. You wrap yourselves. You gird your waist with truth. Truth of what? Truth of the gospel. Goes on to say, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected your torso, your heart, your vital organs. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? To be righteous, to be holy. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, the Apostle Peter writes, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. In all your conduct. We had a great Bible study this morning in here where where Jesus was talking to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, how he literally lambasted them, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs, you appear righteous, but inside you, you're just full of dead men's bones. You worry about the appearance, but not what's inside. Peter is saying, you were called to be holy in your conduct. Not just the appearance, but in the way you live. And goes on to say in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We need to be holy. We need to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness protects us. Because the devil is not going to come at us straight on. It's going to protect us. Our vital organs, our heart. With righteousness. Verse 15 it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You don't think of footwear as all, you know, that big of a, it's not part of armor. Very important. These soldiers marched. Those of you that have been in the military, you know how important good, you know, you're on your feet. Paul is telling Christians, you put on your feet, you shod your feet with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation is effort. Preparation takes effort. In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul also wrote, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I don't have pretty feet. Stacy says my feet look like Fred Flintstone, got big old knobby toes. You know, I don't have pretty feet. Paul is saying, how beautiful are the feet of people like us that spread the gospel to others. That is so important. In 2 Timothy, he tells his beloved Timothy, be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. Not taking passages out of context. I love the King James, how it says at the beginning of 2 Timothy, it says, study to show yourselves approved. The New King James, be diligent. It just doesn't come. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We can spread the gospel to others. And somebody took the time to spread it to you. I don't know when, I don't know who, but somebody took the time to study the Word of God with you. And it has led to you putting on Christ in baptism and being a member of the kingdom of Christ. And we can do that very same thing to others. Whether it be family members, whether it be our neighbors, whether it be people we work with, or a total stranger. In verse 16, Paul writes, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That devil fires a lot of those fiery darts at us every day. Darts of sin, darts of doubt, questioning faith, hardship, asking questions, where is God? We all get bombarded with those darts. Above all, take up the shield of faith. That's what gets us through. A lot of the times, those dark times that some of us have been through that we wonder, will I get through this? And sometimes we don't know. It's that faith that has gotten us through. That encouragement. The faith in God that has got us through. He says, take up the shield of faith. Hebrews 11:6, the Hebrew writer says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. One of the reasons we are here today is to be pleasing to God. We are worshiping God. We are singing songs of praise to Him. We are offering prayers. We are communing with God. We are studying His Word. We want to be pleasing to Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't be a doubting Christian and be pleasing to God. Paul says, take up that shield of faith. That's what protects us. In those dark times, that's what gets us through. The shield of the Roman army was a lot different of the shields of gladiators at that very same time. That very same era. Shield of a gladiator was for himself only. They were smaller, easier to wield around. The shield of the Roman soldier not only protected them, but by the way they went into battle, and I think you're going to see some connections here, they protected each other. They would interlock those shields together. And as they're going into battle, they're protecting each other. If arrows were being shot at them, or spears being thrown, those in the back are protecting those in front. Those in front are protecting their neighbor. We as the church, and you wonder why it says in Hebrews, do not forsake this assembling of yourselves together. That's where we gain our strength. We're not going into this battle alone. I get strength from you, Kathy. Kathy, you get strength from Preston. We're in this together. They would go into battle as one. We don't have to. We are in this together, helping each other, protecting each other. That's the glorious... One of the glorious things of being united in Christ in the kingdom. And you don't have this if you're not in Christ. You're out there trying to fight by yourself. Up to you. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We're accountable to each other. We make each other stronger. We get strength from each other. That's what it's about. We don't have to go into this battle alone. Verse 17 it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Topping it all off, topping all of that armor, is the helmet. It protects our head. Lop your head off. Body may be perfect. You lop the head off, you're done. Take the helmet of salvation. The crowning over everything else is that salvation. In Acts 4, starting in verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is through Jesus that we have salvation. And we are to put the helmet of salvation on top of everything. It is a simple plan of salvation. You have seen this a gazillion times. We're told to put the helmet of salvation on our heads. You cannot be saved unless you've heard the Word of God. You can't do it. You might read it yourself. You might hear somebody else preach it. You may have somebody teach it to you. You've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have a choice at that moment to either believe or not believe the word you've heard. John 8:24. Unless you believe, you will die in your sins. Once you do believe, you've got to confess that belief to others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. We have to repent of sins. Big deal if we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but it doesn't change our lives. What good is that? What good is the gospel not going to do if we don't change our lives? We have to repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You've got to repent of sins. When the people on the day of Pentecost realized that they had killed Jesus, they cried out to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. There's no way around, you know, there's a lot of religious, good religious people that put a lot of effort trying to get around why you don't have to be baptized. I don't get it personally. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But once, it's not the concept of once saved, always saved. It's not the concept of safe at third base. Oh, I'm baptized, I'm good to go. I got this force field around me. We have to remain faithful. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22 that we have to endure to the end and we'll be saved. And he ends up with, not only put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of those other items that had been mentioned are defensive. The shot in your feet with the preparation is to go and take the Word of God to people. The sword of the Spirit is both defensive and an offensive weapon. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it's a scripture that many of you could quote. Talks about the Word of God. And Paul is writing to his beloved Timothy, and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not man-made. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's offensive and defensive. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." It's not an archaic, outdated book. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what Paul wraps up. And take the sword of the Spirit, which hangs what is girded around your waist, which is truth. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You pray not only for yourselves, but for the rest of the saints. And be watchful. What good is it if you got the helmet and the shield and the armor and you just don't pay attention to the devil? If you're not watchful. Paul told us to take up the full armor of God. I urge you that if you're only carrying around a sword, take up the other parts. That if you're only carrying around the shield of faith, that's not going to be enough. Paul told us to take up the full armor of God, to enjoy the benefits of going into battle with each other. If you're not a Christian, I urge you to do so. That's the only way you're going to get the benefits of that armor of God. If you need the prayers and you need your brothers and sisters to strengthen you, if you may be going through something right now that nobody else knows about, you may be fighting a giant. Let us help you. Let us whittle them down to size. If you need prayers, if you've been assembling with us and would like to identify with us as a member here, by all means, we would love to have you. We will put you to work. Whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.